Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 4, we will read verses 14 through 21. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1465. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 4:14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Jesus went out through all the surrounding region. And Jesus taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where Jesus had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And Jesus was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when Jesus had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Jesus. And Jesus began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Let my people go. The acclaimed painting, Let My People Go, was painted by Aaron Douglas in 1926. In the daily devotional, Our Daily Bread reading for this past Monday, January the 20th, Lisa Samra writes, "Aaron Douglas uses vibrant colors of lavender, green, and gold, along with a traditional African imagery, to tell the biblical story of Moses and connect it with Black American struggle for freedom and justice. The painting portrays God's appearance to Moses in a burning bush when God revealed that he had seen the plight of the Israelites in Egypt. The artist uses a beam of light to symbolize God and God's message that God gave Moses in Exodus 3:10. God said, "So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." In the painting, Let My People Go, Moses kneels in obedient submission to God's instruction. But the eye is drawn to the dark ways and the horses trained for war surrounding him. It reminds viewers of struggles that the Israelites would face as they left Egypt. But the beam of light shines brightly as a reminder that God would be with the Israelites. The painting's title evokes a lyric from Go Down Moses, a traditional spiritual that enslaved Black people in the 19th century, sang for religious expression and to bring solidarity and as a form of resistance. A lyric that civil rights activists of the 1950s and 1960s invoked to highlight the incomplete struggle for freedom and justice. Moses has long been associated with the famed abolitionist Harriet Tubman, who became known as the Moses of her people for her heroic efforts to free enslaved people through the secret network of safe houses known as the Underground Railroad. A stanza from the song Go Down Moses expresses it this way. "So the Lord said, Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell all Pharaohs to let my people go. Tell all Pharaohs to let my people go." Lisa Wingate, a Christian fiction author, wrote a novel entitled The Book of Lost Friends. While the book is fictional, it was inspired from an ad that she read on the Lost Friends database. In the heyday of the Southwestern Christian Advocate in the 1870s and 1880s, after the end of the American Civil War, Lost Friend ads were published in the newspaper. This was a Methodist newspaper that went out to nearly 500 preachers, 800 post offices, and more than 4,000 subscription holders. Lisa Wingate read the following newspaper header. "Lost Friends. We make no charge for publishing these letters from subscribers. All others will be charged 50 cents. Pastors will please read the requests published from their pulpits and report any cases where friends are brought together by means of letters in the Southwestern Christian Advocate." Wingate read the following ad. "Mr. Editor, I wish to inquire for my people. My stepfather was named George, and my mother's name was China. I am the oldest of 10 children and am named Caroline. The others were Anne, Mary, Lucinda, George Washington, Wright Wesley, Martha, Louisa, Samuel Houston, Prince Albert, in order of age, and were all my mother had when separated. Our first owner was Jephthah Wooten, who carried us all from Mississippi to Texas, where he died. We were stolen from Texas by Green Wooten, a nephew of Jephthah, who brought us back to Mississippi on Pearl River, where he sold us to a lawyer named Baker's Bacon, who seems not to have paid for us. My stepfather and oldest brother were stolen and carried off by him to Natchez, Mississippi, and there sold. The remainder of us were taken from him and put for safekeeping in the Holmesville Pike County, Mississippi jail, after which we were put in the hands of another lawyer, John Lampkins, who sold us all. My mother and three children were sold to Bill Files in Pike County, Mississippi, my sister Anne to one Coleman in the same county. My sister Mary to a man named Amaker, who lived in the vicinity of Gainesville, Mississippi. Lucinda was sold into Louisiana. Wright Wesley was sold at the same time, but to whom or where to, I do not know. Martha was also sold at the same time, but to whom or where to, I do not know. Martha was also sold somewhere in the settlement near my mother, but I do not know to whom. I was sold to Bill Flowers, being quite a young woman. I am now 60 years of age and have one son, Orange Henry Flowers, preacher in the Mississippi Conference, located in Purlington, Hancock, Mississippi, on the Bay St. Louis charge. Any information will be acceptable and thankfully received. Write to Caroline Flowers in care of Reverend O.H. Flowers, Purlington, Hancock County, Mississippi. What is this about we humans that allows us to put ourselves above our fellow humans as if their lives don't matter? The gospel writer Luke reveals to us at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, at around the age of 30, Jesus returned to Nazareth where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. The institution of the synagogue is one of the supreme religious contributions of Israel. In the early Old Testament scripture, worship centered around various high places and then later at the temple in Jerusalem. Both at the local shrines and at the temple, worship was largely a matter of sacrifice and ritual. When 586 years before Jesus was born, the temple was destroyed and most of the Jews were led away into captivity, it seemed a shattering and ultimate disaster. How could they sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How could they worship now that their altars were destroyed? The answer was the rise of the synagogue. The place of Jewish worship was now not for the ritual of material sacrifice, but for the offering up of prayers and praise, and for the preserving and listening to the sacred writings. When the 70-year exile was over and the Jews were released to rebuild the temple for worship and sacrifice, they also took home with them synagogue worship. Temple worship took place in Jerusalem, but synagogue worship occurred weekly every Sabbath in local communities. Synagogue buildings varied greatly. They were usually built of stone, and they lay north and south with the entrance at the southern end. Their size and elegance were largely determined by the numerical strength and the prosperity of the Jewish community in which they were built. The principal items of furniture were there would be a chest in which would be rolls of scripture that would be kept wrapped in linen cloth, and there would be a platform or an elevated place in which a reading desk stood. There would be lamps and a candelabra, and trombones and trumpets, and there would be benches on which the worshipers sat. The congregation was divided. The men sat on one side and the women on the other. The more prominent members took the front seats. Worship in a Palestinian synagogue, such as in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, began with the congregation reciting the Shema, which is Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then this was followed by a prayer. The ruler of the synagogue could call upon any adult male of the congregation to pray. The person praying usually stood before the chest of the rolls of scripture. The oldest form of this prayer consisted of a series of petitions which ended in a benedictory response by saying, Blessed art thou, O Lord. And the scripture lesson which followed the prayer could be read by any member of the congregation, even children. If priests or Levites were present in the worship service, they were given precedence. The reader usually stood. The first reading would come from the Pentateuch, one of those first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And this reading consists of fixed passages. The scripture was read in Hebrew, but a translator turned it into Aramaic, the common language of the people. Well, following this reading was a scripture lesson from the prophets. The reading from the prophets was not fixed. Either the ruler of the synagogue or the reader chose the portion. While it's not perfectly clear in our scripture reading, it sounds as if Jesus chose and found the place. Jesus was handed the book, or more likely a scroll, of the prophet Isaiah. Jesus found the place and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. In synagogue worship, the sermon, or the word of exhortation, followed the reading from the prophets. The preacher usually sat down as a sign of humility. No single individual was appointed to do the preaching. Any competent worshiper might be invited by the ruler to bring the sermon of the day. This freedom of the synagogue, as this custom was called, allowed Jesus and later his early disciples to go into numerous synagogues to teach. So Jesus sat down, and all eyes were fixed on him. Jesus said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He has anointed me." Jesus knew that his power came from God, and Jesus knew the purpose for that anointing. Preach the gospel. Take the good news of God's salvation to the poor. The poor includes those that are often left out, those that are overlooked, those that are physically poor, and those who are spiritually poor. Heal the brokenhearted. For those who are weary and brokenhearted, God can heal a broken heart. To proclaim liberty to the captives. We're conscious of wanting to be free, to work, to live, to govern, to care for our families, and to worship. And while not always conscious of it, we also desire to be free from enslavement to sin. Recovery of sight to the blind. Jesus practiced the physical recovering of sight to the blind. He also gave sight to those who were spiritually blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oppression can occur through a lack of social injustice, and oppression can also occur through a depression of the spirit. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah pictures the deliverance of Israel from exile in Babylon as a year of jubilee. Jubilee was when all debts are canceled, all slaves are freed, all property is returned to original owners. However, the release from Babylonian exile had not brought the fulfillment the people had expected. They were still a conquered and an oppressed people. So Isaiah must have been anticipating the future age when the Messiah comes. Jesus boldly announced, "This scripture has come true today." The anointing of God was on Jesus. This Holy Spirit anointing is on us as believers and followers of Jesus to continue the ministry which Jesus began. In the Our Daily Bread reading, Lisa Samra concluded, "The emotions evoked by the 'Let My People Go' painting by Aaron Douglas resonate because the struggle against injustice continues. Many use their power to oppress men, women, and children. As those who are suffering cry out for God to be a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, we can plead with God to respond to their cries for help. And like Moses, we can be willing to act on behalf of the oppressed." Let us pray. Lord, help us continue your ministry of preaching, healing, bringing justice, mercy, freedom, and liberty. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.